Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is news. Each of my guests is an expert in his field and will give us the uncensored news. My first guest follows the airline and automobile industries for CNBC. We'll discuss the results of the Paris Air Show and remind listeners that America is still the manufacturing leader in both areas. My second guest is the commander of the Seabees at Naval Station Ventura County. We'll discuss leadership, the Seabees, and the recent deployments with the 31st Sea Urban Readiness Commander and the NFLEC commanding officer. My third guest is the leader of Project Censored and the author of Censored 2010. We'll discuss the top 25 censored stories between the years 2008 and 2009. And if you want to call in and ask a question of my guests or join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Phil LeBeau is a CNBC auto and airline industry reporter based in the network's Chicago bureau. Prior to joining CNBC, Phil served as a media relations specialist for Van Camp & Funds in Oak Brook Terrace, Illinois. Previously, Phil had been general assignment reporting positions for KCNC-TV, a CBS affiliate in Denver, and KAKE-TV, which is an ABC affiliate in Wichita, Kansas. Phil began his career in the field producer at WCCO-TV in Minneapolis, where he wrote, produced, and researched consumer stories. Phil graduated from the University of Missouri Columbia School of Journalism with a bachelor's degree in journalism and broadcasting. Welcome to the show, Phil. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm terrific. I'm impressed by your credentials, and I have to tell you right up front, I've been watching you for years on CNBC. Great to have you on the show. Let's start with the Paris Air Show, because Paris Air Show just ended, and there were some blockbuster announcements this year. Typically at the Paris Air Show, it's always a battle between Boeing, which is America's leading exporter, and Airbus. And in recent years, Boeing has been getting the advantage there with sales of its new 787 Dreamliner and the 747-800 long-haul carrier. This year, however, that wasn't the case. So give us the final score. How did Boeing do compared to Airbus this year at the show?
Well, Airbus clearly dominated the show this year, and that was expected going in. Overall, Airbus recorded a record number of orders, about 730, totaling $72.2 billion. And the really, the big order there is the single largest order for one airplane from, or one type of airplane from one airline, and it was AirAsia agreeing to buy 200 of the new A320neos, the Neo standing for a new engine option. They're going to pay $18.5 billion for those 200 planes. So that's why Airbus dominated the show. And we should point out, they usually dominate the orders at the show. They hoard them, if you will, bring them all together to make those announcements that week. What you really need to look at are where the two companies stand at the end of the year in terms of orders. Now, some years it's Airbus who wins, some years it's Boeing. Tends to be very, very close.
Nip and tuck, as they say. Now, where is AirAsia based? Is that in China or is that in Japan or some other country?
That's over in Singapore, if I'm not mistaken, and it's relatively new. So what you're looking at is an airline that is coming online. It wants to make fuel efficiency the heart of its operations. And if you're an airline looking to do that, clearly the more fuel-efficient planes from the A320neo, that's what you're going to want.
Without a doubt. And that's really the battleground right now in the airline industry. It's the battle between the gigantic airplanes like the A380, which is the double-decker, I don't know, at maximum capacity, it's almost 500 passengers,
mm-hmm.
versus the more fuel-efficient 787 and now the Airbus A320neo. So in that battle, it looked like in the beginning Airbus was going for the big long-haul carrier. Does this represent a shift in strategy for Airbus towards the more fuel-efficient, which is where Boeing was going the entire time?
They had to do something. The 787 clearly has been a game changer. It has made fuel efficiency really the key to all future plane orders. And Airbus came out and said, well, we'll build the A350XWB because that's really more of the segment size of the 787. And yet at the same time, they realized where the industry is growing globally are your single-aisle planes, your 737s, your A320s, and that's where they needed to come out with a new plane. So they've said, well, listen, we're going to come out with the new engine option, and as part of that new engine option, these are going to be 15% more fuel efficient than the old generation of the A320s when these finally come to market. So it's not necessarily that they are changing their strategy. I think the world has forced both Boeing and Airbus and the airlines to all put a premium, not necessarily on size, but more on fuel efficiency.
All right, that's good. My guest is Phil LeBeau of CNBC. He's the airline and automobile reporter for that network. And Phil, as consumers, we've got this love-hate relationship with the airlines that you just mentioned in that last answer. I mean, we love getting from point A to point B quickly rather than driving in our car or maybe taking the train. However, we hate the delays. We hate the poor service, the airport security, the variability in airplane ticket prices, and so forth. Investors have also got a love-hate relationship that's probably even worse with the airline industries because airline stocks have never been good performers over the long term. The airline industry, as an industry, has never accumulated a profit over its entire existence as an industry. And that's probably because labor and fuel costs make up such a big portion of that. So tell me, why hasn't the airline industry been a better investment for investors?
Well, you mentioned labor and fuel costs, and right now, fuel is the single largest cost that the airlines face. And the issue is that, strange as it sounds, the airline business is a low barrier to entry business. If you are a wealthy individual, you can go out and find a plane to buy. You can go out and start serving two cities, and eventually you get enough people flying, you move on to three or four cities. And in the history of the airline business, it has always been this way, where the upstarts, because they don't have the legacy cost of having a staff over 20, 30 years and built-up pension obligations, they can go with a very lean, low-cost operation, and consumers in this country have always, always chosen airlines almost exclusively based on price. For as much as we talk about the flying experience and how much you like a certain airline because of the service it provides, at the end of the day, it's price. You give me a price that's lower than the other guy, and I guarantee you the airline with the lower price almost always will get more business. So that's the reason why if you're investing in these airlines, it is not a long-term investment. It is a short-term investment, and you need to be understanding the cycles that they go through.
All right, and that makes sense. And in your answer there, it kind of triggered a thought in my mind because you said any wealthy individual can go in and buy an airplane and start an airline. But the side of the industry that I see growing the fastest, and maybe this is myopic on my part, but the side I see growing the fastest is the actual private jets and private commuter airplanes because of things like net jets that allow you to lease portions of airplanes. It gives you the flexibility of leaving from small airports, not having to hassle with the security. Am I wrong in that perception? Are small private planes really dominating right now?
They are not dominating. That's an even more cyclical and boom and bust cycle industry than the commercial airline business. A previous life of mine, you were reading my resume earlier,
right.
I worked in Wichita, Kansas, which is, the air capital is what they call it. You have Cessna, you have Beech, you have Learjet that are all based there, in addition to a large facility for Boeing. And I've covered that industry over the years. It is completely boom and bust. And while it is, you see a lot of ads for fractional ownership of airplanes through companies like ExecuJets and NetJets, what you often find are that that goes in huge peaks and valleys. And so as troubling as it may be to look at the commercial industry, the private jet industry is one that can be as much of a roller coaster.
My guest is Phil LeBeau. He is the expert analyst for CNBC on airlines and automobiles. And I want to switch gears, if I can, Phil, and talk about automobiles. J.D. Powers, which is located right here in Ventura County, reported that 2011 automobiles are not as reliable as 2010 models. So American cars over the past decade have made gains in reliability and overall customer satisfaction without a doubt. Japanese cars have always been considered the foremost leaders there. But Japanese cars over the past 2 years have had two really bad years when it comes to reliability and overall satisfaction. So what do the new J.D. Powers numbers tell us when we look at the satisfaction ratings?
Really two things. One being that overall reliability, dependability slightly improved. But what hurt the industry is that new models, the dependability of those across the board declined year over year. And we're talking brand new models. We're not talking about if you were to tweak the Malibu. We're talking about if you roll out an all-new model like the Fiesta. That declined year over year. And the big issue comes down to the technology in these cars, particularly when it comes to entertainment and communications. And what you have is an industry, a long lead industry, where it takes years to develop a car. Even if as they've improved and shortened the time, it still takes at least 3 years. They're trying to incorporate technology that is rapidly developing. And sometimes they get it right, as Ford did with the Sync program a few years ago, which is wildly popular because it was easy to understand and it worked. With new technology that people are saying, it's too complex. I don't completely get it. And it may not be a defect. Defect's not the right word. It may not be a problem that stops the car from functioning. You can still drive the car, but if it's not working exactly as you wanted it to, you're mad.
Right.
You've paid $25,000 or $35,000 for a car, and yet the voice-activated system doesn't exactly work or it has to reboot. You're mad.
Absolutely.
Because that's money that you paid there. So you've got two different styles of industry trying to work together, the technology, which moves very rapidly, and the old line auto manufacturing.
Oh, that is great. We're talking to Phil LeBeau. He's giving us his insight on airlines and automobiles. Phil, we've run out of time, unfortunately. So many more questions to ask you. But if people are interested, they want to learn more about you, they want to learn more about what you do for CNBC, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I would check out behindthewheel.cnbc.com.
Behindthewheel.cnbc.com. That's your blog. Phil, thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.
Thank you.